I am among the ministers of God. Let us today be neither arrogant nor falsely humble. We have gone beyond such foolishness. We cannot judge ourselves, nor need we do so. These are but attempts to hold decision off and to delay commitment to our function, to why we're here. It is not our part to judge our worth, nor can we know what role is best for us. What we can do within a larger plan, we cannot see in its entirety. Listen, our part is cast in heaven, not in hell. And what we think is weakness can be our strength. What we believe to be our strength is often our own arrogance and our determination to remain separate. Whatever your appointed role may be, it was selected by the voice for God, whose function is to speak for you as well. Seeing your strength exactly as they are, and equally aware of where they can be best applied for what and to whom and when, He chooses and accepts your part for you. He does not work without your own consent, but He is not deceived in what you are and listens only to His voice in you. Look, it is through His ability to hear one voice, which is His own, that you become aware at last there is one voice that's also in you. And that one voice appoints your function and relays it to you, giving you the strength to understand it and to do what it entails and to succeed in everything you do that is related to it. God has joined His Son in this, and thus His Son becomes His messenger of unity along with you. It is this joining to the voice for God, of Father and of Son, that sets apart salvation from the world. It is this voice which speaks of laws that the world does not obey, which promises salvation from all sin with guilt abolished in the mind that God created sinless. Now, this mind becomes aware again of who created it and of His lasting union with itself. So is itself the one reality in which its will and that of God are actually joined. Listen, a messenger is not the one who writes the message he delivers, nor does he question the right of him who does, nor ask why he has chosen those who will receive the message that it brings. It is enough that he accept it, give it to the ones for whom it is intended, and fulfill His role in its delivery. If He determines what the message should be, or what their purpose is, or where they should be carried, He is simply failing to perform His proper part as bringer of the world. And I'm very happy that you decided to stay with me. And the idea that as messengers of discoveries of our new self in associations of our separate body's identity, within a continuum of time, we have found increasing evidence that there is a message somewhere out in the universe waiting for us to discover it. I'm glad you joined with me. We're teaching the revelation of the Course in Miracles by the self-discovery of the Savior of this world, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is now identified in his entirety as the giver of a single message to us that we now are hearing within our own factoring of light. He's introducing to us the idea that within the frame of time by which we find ourselves, we are in an admission of our conceptual self that we predetermined to hold on to in order to give value within the memories of our own containment and let our own voice represent the reflection of our own voice. It was predetermined within the species of man that there was contained within your own mind a transition from a location in space-time. We call this Earth, and we call that interval in between heaven, don't we? In a transition where we rise above the chaos of that we previously felt within this hologram of light and within the matrix of energy, where all of the reflections of ourself were predeterminations of retain our separation, in which we then attempted to compare ourself rather than utilizing somewhere deep within you the recognition of your certainty that the place in which you now find yourself is very simply not where you're from. Are you sharing that with me? They call me the master teacher. I'm a minister. Should we practice it that way? I attempt to communicate with you. Listen, the revelation that I discovered within my own mind in the entirety of my willingness to accept the basic fundamental idea that there must be a power out in the universe that would be available to me. You and I together now in body formulation, let's teach each other for just a moment, have struggled for a very long period of time with the ideas by making comparison with antecedental ideas contained within my own mind, projecting them into the future, we could leave and live within a range of time that justified the body identity of the reflection of light that constitute the conflict that we maintain. We used to say, in order to believe that we somewhere are making ourselves, in order to believe that somewhere within the concept we hold about ourselves, in the very dim light of reflection, that we could actually find a new bright light that would be all around us and not have to sacrifice the conceptual idea of self-containment by which we identified ourselves. I'm going to teach for about 7 minutes now from my own revelation of mine. The simplest idea that you can be offered in the entirety of what you call a hologram of time, or a definition of a matrix of energy in which you appear to be separate, are the fundamental admission that you make that you can't solve within your conceptual self the problem. Until you reach that point, you can't hear, and now I heard it, the messenger that I am offering you. This is the resurrection of my Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in a determination that by practicing, here, within my own mind, by practicing my defenselessness in the idea of who I thought I was, I can see and discover each moment that the actual reflection I was getting from myself was an attack defensive motivation of what I wanted to say within the particulars of my own mind that I've decided I don't want anymore. And before I forget, as what we termed the master teacher, I want to thank you for entering into my frame of reference with me in the Passion of the Christ, that finally in the re-examination of yourself, you have decided to simply let God solve the problem for you. And what happened? The moment you decided within your own mind, not in the resolution of the problem, but in your determination that the resolution could not be located within space-time, you began to increase the frequencies of light by which we identify ourselves in formulation of time episodes that we previously used to identify ourselves as body form. We're sharing together the happy experience of the birth, the Christmas time of Jesus Christ. Born in a manger, with us now, with a star in the sky. Why not take a look that the memories we have of love that we share with each other can nurture in us our need to serve, our need to give, our need to love. Because the story that we're telling ourselves in the prophecy of the fulfillment that somewhere out in space-time we're going to discover the Christ child who cannot not be somewhere a grown-up effort of ourselves, we used to express it, that by putting what appear to be conceptual ideas ourselves in our need to identify our little containment in the infinite maze of the nothingness that previously represented us, we have discovered a whole new reflection of light. And the love that I'm feeling now for you in that definition of ourself. There's elements of practice that I know that are determining for you a reformulation of your body. We use the term healing. We use the term that at any single moment in our ideas about our body, there is another particular of the admission that it's possible for us to locate ourselves momentarily in space-time with the simple admission that at any moment it's always going to be over and gone anyway. And if we're not determined to continue to fabricate in reflected ideas of light that can only give us the particulars of an idea of what is already gone, and including an idea of what has not yet happened, we can see together that in that rebirth that happened there, though it may have contained within it all of the conflict that we felt in the conflictual idea of crucifixion, the loss of the things that we love, the particulars wherein we were unable to see that reflection of light, just for that moment, at that time and place and time, we ask for the help of the totality of the admission of the power of God without the need to circumvent it in the ideas that we could surround ourselves with the moment of the entirety of impacted black, dark energy that occurred within us that expanded slowly from us as long as we could contain ourselves, but simply moved into the center of that moment in time where the entirety of the conflict was evident. And at that moment, the earth disappeared in the glorious recognition that we had returned to heaven and we had escaped the bondage of the idea that your body identity was somehow separate from my body identity, with the simple admission, as Jesus has admonished us, there's only going to be one of us in all of the universe sharing the certainty of the love that we now represent to each other in a true reflection of what we are. Will you look with me just a moment about the power of light that you have to make the decision about what you want to be true within your own self-concept. So perhaps we could share the joy of that realization that you have accepted my instructions to you, that I accepted from the Savior, my association of Jesus, with the simple admission that the responsibility for being a minister of God, an ambassador from outside the framework of time, has allowed me to come into the chaotic association of your identity in a place, listening, where you don't belong. I am a minister from a new location of you, out in the galaxy, inviting you that supersedes the necessity to travel at the speed of light, that at any single moment the power of your mind to decide a single outcome is within you, simply by not making comparison within your conceptual self of what you want to be true. I'm going to subject you objectively just a moment to the totality of the mind training by which you believe I am teaching other than self-concept versus the self that you really are. These particulars will be something you've already admitted to me that you know. What I want to do is increase the recognition that the self-concept that you hold about yourself can bind you for another 10,000 years. Somewhere you're going to have to decide within your own mind that any reflection of light you get is objectified by previous decisions that do not allow you to see a quantum moment when your self-identity sees immediately the joy that I'm experiencing right now with you in the recognition of myself. Practice, say to me, I'm recognizing myself. Yes. In the resurrection, we each recognizing ourselves through the single message of the ambassadorship of the idea that no one would ever stay here the moment he recognized within his own heart and all of those who have been assigned to him by the memory fabric of the mission that he has been given in this correspondent will leave the space-time episode with him very simply because his time is up. Time is up. Your time is up. It's time to go home. It's time to wake up. There's a memory fabric now within your own mind. I'll play the part if you want me to, and you may not know me just for a moment. I don't expect you to. There's no need that you identify mutual identities of separation. The practice of the recognition within the dream sequence of your individual responsibility to let a new messenger of light come in has always been available to you within your determination to reject it. And each time you accept it, it takes its place in the memory of the new single message that is actually being broadcasted to you in the entirety of light with no need that you retain a moment of separation that will then stretch into ideas of the loss of your body identity. Two practices. One, from the revelation of my mind, you will not be that body. Second, the recognition that contained within you is that the concept of your body will always hold you in the bondage of time. Will you listen with me in this mind training of this Course in Miracles in which you have progressed to this point and are about to depart this entire association of the continuum in which you appear to be, and at that moment will join with me, we used to call it the gates of heaven, where the light has penetrated sufficiently so that the idea that you would remain within this frequency of darkness has left you entirely, and you can no longer recognize how you were within your own concept. From the Course in Miracles, listen with me about this comparison. Call it called self-concept versus self. The learning of the world is built upon a concept of the self adjusted to the world's reality, and it fits it well. For this, an image is that suits a world of shadows and illusion. Here, it walks at home where what it sees is one with it. The building of a concept of the self is what the learning of the world is for. This is its purpose, that you come without a self and make one as you go along. And by the time you reach what you call maturity, you've perfected it to meet the world on equal terms, at one with its demands. Look with me. A concept of the self is made by you. It bears no likeness to yourself at all. It's an idol made to take the place of your reality as the Son of God. The concept of the self, the world would teach, is not the thing that it appears to be, for it is made to serve two purposes, but one of which the mind can recognize. The first one presents the face of innocence, the aspect that you act upon. It is this face that smiles and charms and even seems to love. It searches for companions, and it looks at times with pity on the suffering, and sometimes it offers solace. It believes that it is good within an evil world. This aspect can grow angry, for the world is wicked and unable to provide the love and shelter innocence deserves. And so this face is often wet with tears at the injustices the world accords to those who would be generous and good. This aspect never makes the first attack, but every day a hundred little things make small assaults upon its innocence, provoking it to irritation, and at last to open insult and abuse. You listen with me. Here it is. Here is a central lesson that will guarantee that your brother is condemned eternally, very simply because the reflection of light that you're getting is a certainty that I am the thing that you make of me, and as you look on me, you stand condemned because of what I am. On this conception of the self, the world smiles with approval, for it guarantees that the pathways of the world are safely kept, and those who walk on them will never escape. Look with me. Concepts are learned. They are not natural. Apart from learning, they do not exist. They are not given, so they must be made. Not one of them is true. And many come from feverish imaginations, hot with anger and distorted, born of fear. What is a concept but a thought to which its maker gives a meaning of his own? Concepts maintain the world, but they cannot be used to demonstrate that the world is real, for all of them are made within the world, born in its shadow, growing in its ways, and finally maturing in its thoughts. They are ideas of idols painted with the brushes of the world, which cannot make a single picture representing truth. They cannot represent a single moment of a picture of the truth of what you are. Your willingness to practice the idea that the concept that you hold of yourself is not actually who you are is giving me a great deal of joy. Almost all of us, as body occupations within ourself, have been determined to let our body, within the fabric of the idea of who we are, represent the inevitability of the power contained within us to maintain this little pitiful self that I now recognize within my own dream is nothing but your attempt to stay that self-concept and to prove to me that you can suffer sickness and loneliness and pain within that idea. The exchange that we just augmented in our minds, I'm very happy with you, thank you for that, as a teacher of God, are simply your determination that we mutually recognize the singularity of ourself without the need to defend and attack what appears to be the notation of body form out there, because the body form out there is the self concept we have constructed in multiple ideas of the illusion of this world. I'm going to leave you for just a moment, and then the little commercial from God that's going to appear here, broadcasting light around us, we're going to begin to turn and examine each other with a new recognition of self-concept versus who we really are in that new reflection of light. Because God is going with us now in this new procedure. So we can say together, God, bless us, each of us, everyone, in recognition of myself. In recognition of myself. Let's recognize the spirit. You see the flesh or recognize the spirit. There is no compromise between the two. If one is real, the other must be false, for what is real denies its opposite. There is no choice in vision but this one. What you decide in this determines all you see and think is real and hold as true. You listen with me. On this one choice does all your world depend. For here have you established what you are, as flesh or spirit in your own belief. Here you go. If you choose flesh body, you never will escape the body as your own reality, for you have chosen that you want it so. But choose the spirit, and all of heaven bends to touch your eyes and bless your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more, except to heal and to comfort and to bless. Listen with me. Salvation is undoing. If you choose to see the body, you behold a world of separation, unrelated things and happening that makes no sense. This one appears and disappears in death. This one is doomed to suffer and loss. And no one is exactly as he was an instant previous, nor will he be the same as he now is an instant hence. Who could have trust when so much change is seen? For who is worthy if he's going to end up in dust? You listen with me. Salvation is undoing of all of this. For constancy arises in the sight of those whose eyes salvation has released from looking at the cost of keeping guilt because they chose to let it go instead. Listen, salvation does not ask that you behold the spirit and perceive the body not. It merely asks that this should be your choice, for you can see the body without help, but do not understand how to behold the world apart from it, and this is why you need the mind training. It is your world salvation will undo for you and let you see another world your eyes could never find. Be not concerned how this could ever be. You do not understand how what you see arose to keep your sight, for if you did, it would be gone. The veil of ignorance is drawn across the evil and the good together, and must be passed that both may disappear, so that perception finds no hiding place. How is this done? You listen, it's not done. What could there be within the universe that God created that must still be done? And I'm back with you from the mind training of the text of A Course in Miracles, of chapter 31, the finality of the idea that within the factoring of your own mind, in reflections of self-consciousness of your location in space-time, as a body formulation of what you think you are in constant decisions of what you want to be within ideas that you have about yourself in your mind. The success that you and I are enjoying in a simple realization that what we have done, we no longer want, are individually the entirety of my teaching with you. Can we practice together just about that just a moment here? I want to practice it with you. Look with me. Body formulation that we hold about ourselves, if we intend to alter our association of ourselves, must contain somewhere within the concept we have of ourselves that we are determined to retain another idea that would be available to us if at the moment that the concept of ourself takes possession of us, we say to ourselves very simply in the practice of this, wait a minute, there must be another idea in my mind. There must be another idea in my mind about, let's say, my relationship in space-time. There must be another idea in my mind. Let's say that it seems reasonable to me that time, if it is subjected to past and future, must contain somewhere in it, even up to the speed of light, an alteration that would be possible within my own mind so that I could see differently in my mind an idea that I have, that I have been unsuccessful at augmenting within my mind. This is the whole practice of my certainty that you're not a body. Look with me. I'm not asking you to give up your body and suffer another condition of pain or death. What I'm assuring you of is that within the idea of the illusion of space-time in holograms of reflecting of light, none of it is real. There is no world surrounding you now except the moment of your description of yourself in correspondence with what you want to be. That does take practice. Shall we share why? Conceptual mind of the nothingness of your individual body self-identity. Whatever particulars you have prior to your illumination of mind, thank you for that, messenger from outside of time. In the crucifixion of time, at the augmenting of the idea, this is Jesus on the cross, that he was buried and arose from the tomb and now represents your new body entertainment appearing in a new vision of you that is giving you a brighter reflection of the self-concept that you are hell-bent on maintaining within your own mind, okay, or the light that I just felt about you. Is that all right with you in the practice of self-concept versus self? Certainly, the idea that somewhere you're located in space-time, in what appears to be dark energy of light, in which there's no possibility whatsoever of ever escaping out into the universe. Are you listening? Yet within you, you have an idea, an adventure of journeying out into space-time, of escaping from body formulation, of letting the power of your mind make mutual decisions about our apparent separation, so that in quantum adventures we may appear here within our body form and suddenly appear there within our body form? Called a miracle. Now, if this to you is ridiculous and an illusion, let it be so. The only thing, they used to call me the old man, as master teacher in my own revelation of mine, returning as an ambassador or instructor back into this old framework of time, could be offering you is the imminent success you are now experiencing in escaping from time. There's nothing new about this at all. I've been practicing it for so long, I'll hold up one idea to you. The Scientific American magazine about time before time. How's that for a good idea? If all of time is represented as 13,000 million years, what about before time and after it's over? Now, logistically, it will be nothing or what everything is. Now, the idea of your self-concept that you can annihilate yourself and become nothing are obviously decisions you have made about yourself and have been unsuccessful at accomplishing very simply because you can't annihilate yourself. And the reason you can't annihilate yourself is your power comes from God. It's the single source of your reality, and about that you have no choice. The practicing, look with me, the practicing I am not a body is not that difficult. If you let me formulate the idea of the mind training of the Course in Miracles, this is contained obviously in one of the procedures, are simple declarations of yourself that you may believe if you choose to be true, you listening, that you're not a body. That you're not what you appear to be in the reflection of light. That you're free, that you can escape the bondage of the reflection of your light. I don't have a lot of time here because the energy factor has increased to the point where you're about to depart the earth. That was the beginning of this two-hour episode where we said to you, it's time for you to leave. Where we said to you, this is not where you're from. Where you've accumulated that ideas within your own mind that there's a whole universe out there, okay, that you can travel instantly from this point to that point without any deviation in the idea you have about yourself, in the certainty of the hologram of identity that allows you to travel extragalactically anywhere in the universe by the simple identity of the power of yourself to decide what you want to see. But it does take this practice. I don't want to be this. I don't like the formulation that I'm finding in this chaos. I'm not happy with it. I didn't realize that fundamentally I was causing it. I had to even practice the idea that the self-concept that I have about myself is what I'm seeing out in the world. Now at least I've decided to examine myself. Look, and immediately said, I don't like myself very well. Since I can no longer blame the guy out there who is going to attack or defend me from myself, as Jesus reminds us, the circumvention of the necessity to retain the power of my mind to destroy myself are not successful. I have come back into my mind in the practice of the determination that I am not a body. 4.5 nanoseconds. Listen. Let's share together now. I'm not a body. I'm free. Freedom must be impossible as long as you perceive a body as yourself. The body's a limit. Who would seek for freedom in a body looks for it where it cannot be found. The mind can be made free when it no longer sees itself as in a body, firmly tied to it and sheltered by its presence. If this were the truth, the mind were vulnerable indeed. Look with me. The mind that serves the Holy Spirit is unlimited forever in all ways, beyond the laws of time and space, unbound by any preconceptions, and with strength and power to do whatever it is asked. Attack thoughts cannot enter such a mind because it has been given to the source of love, and fear can never enter in a mind that has attached itself to the love that we are now sharing. It rests in God, and who can be afraid who lives in innocence and only loves? Listen. It is essential for your progress in this course that you accept today's idea and hold it very dear. The idea, I am not this body, I am free. Be not concerned that to the ego, your self-concept, it is quite insane. The ego holds the body dear because it dwells in it and lives united with the home that it has made. It is a part of the illusion that has sheltered it from being found illusionary itself. Look, here does it hide, and here it can be seen as what it is. Declare your innocence from yourself, and you are free. What happens? Look, resurrection. The body disappears because you have no need of it except the need that the Holy Spirit sees. Look, for this, the body will appear as useful form for what the mind must do. What does it become? It becomes a vehicle which helps forgiveness be extended to the all-inclusive goal that it must reach according to God's plan. Look, listen, cherish today's idea, practice it today and every day and every moment of each day. Make it a part of every practice period you take. There is no thought that will not gain thereby in power to help the world, and none which will not gain in added gifts to you as well. What are we doing? We sound the call of freedom around the world now with this idea. And would you be exempt from the acceptance of the gift that you have? Listen, the Holy Spirit is the home of minds that seek for freedom. In Him, they have found what they have sought. What happens? The body's purpose now is unambiguous, and it becomes perfect in the ability to serve an undivided goal. In conflict-free and unequivocal response to mind, with but the thought of freedom as its goal, the body serves, and it serves its purpose well. Without the power to enslave, it is a worthy servant of the freedom which the mind within the Holy Spirit seeks. You listen, be free today, and carry freedom as your gift to those who still believe they're enslaved within a body. Be you free so that the Holy Spirit can make use of your escape from bondage to set free the many who perceive themselves as bound and helpless and afraid. Let love replace their fears through you. Accept salvation now and give your mind to Him who calls to you to make this gift to Him, for He would give you perfect freedom, perfect joy, and hope that finds its full accomplishment in God. You listen, you are God's son. In immortality you live forever. Would you not return your mind to this? Then practice well the thought that the Spirit gives you today. Your brothers stand released with you in it, and the world is blessed along with you. And God's Son will weep no more. And heaven offers thanks for the increase of joy that your practice brings even to it. And God Himself extends His love and happiness each time we say together, I'm not a body, I'm free. I hear the voice that God has given me, and it is only this that my mind obeys. Let's share together the reflection of light. Thank you. Thank you for exchanging with me a new idea about our mind that have no concern whatsoever about the formulation of our body identity. I particularly want to thank you in the rapid conversion of what we term the resurrection of your body identity. That in the Passion of the Christ, all of the conflict of pain that we felt within our mind has now been converted by the simple admission, and I'm going to use it just for a couple of nanoseconds, that He is risen. That you are resurrected in your mind. That the reflection of light that trapped you in the idea of dark energy form, that gave you a false reflection of yourself, in which you had to share the conflict of those that you love and those that you cherish and those that have occupied what appears to be the body formulation of yourself, gave to your conceptual self the idea that the entrapment of your body in slow speed and what we call light of containment did not allow you to see that at any moment, by increasing the frequency of light, you will be healed in your body form. They call me the Master Teacher. How am I different in you in the perspective of the enlightenment of my own mind? How could I be different? How can I be different than the single source of reality that represents our old universe? I am different in this regard. I know I'm not a body. The love that I just felt for you was a sharing of our minds, wasn't it? The moment that we shared together was an idea that we have finally found ourselves, that we have been journeying out into the universe for these past thousands of years, thousands of moments or seconds, entropically, in searches of solutions that can only be contained within our own mind. The simple admission that we are whole and perfect within our own minds, and in that recognition, we are displaced entirely from the idea that we came into this association of light, found correspondence within our own bodies, and have been unable to escape. Now, the idea of the correction within the universal mind of God has been accomplished, and we're sharing it together. Look, in a continuing practice, that in your illumination of your mind formulation, you know perfectly well you're not a body. You know perfectly well that deep within you are memories of everything that has occurred within all of the universe in ideas of reflection of light, in which I met you at last. I'm meeting you now with a love that you are sharing with me in our return here for this moment, in the certainty that our minds are communicate with absolutely no regard to what our formulation of the illusion of our body is. But notice how readily a perfect body will stand with us, as Jesus reminds us, in the instant recognition of the availability of a conversion, in the idea of quantum recognition, where we can leave this segment and then enjoy the necessity to offer teaching to those who still appear to be trapped by asking them to declare, I'm not a body, I'm free, I'm as God created me, I am the light of the world along with you, I am the savior of the world along with you, I am responsible for the outcome that I want this to be. And I'm certain now that I'm using the power of my own mind that this old world was over a long time ago, and that you and I are coming back into it just for this moment to share our own resurrection and the particulars of the love that I'm feeling for you at this moment as teachers of God, so that we can declare together, I'm not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me. And this moment in time will be over. So we can say together, as we recognize this new idea of ourself in this new continuum of time, God, bless us, you and I, and each and everyone. And we'll be home. We're crossing out now. We're coming home together.